Your congregation, our focus this evening will be on this psalm that we read, and mainly verses 10 through 15. We'll look only at a few of the major aspects that he has here. But as we consider God's word, often God uses great contrast to show us the great transforming power of the gospel of Christ. For example, if you go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, there Paul had given a whole list of sins that the Corinthians were guilty of. And he lists sins such as murder and theft and adultery and fornication and homosexuality. But then he says after that, "And such were some of you." And then he says in verse 11, "But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So he contrasts there the depth and the vileness of our sins with the power of Christ's work to deliver and to cleanse us from those sins. He contrasts what we once were in those depths of sin and abomination in the sight of God to now being made children of the living God, washed and justified. But here in this psalm, David shows us a different contrast. He gives us a picture of the rich benefits that God pours on his people in contrast with what we deserve, with what we truly deserve. When Paul gave that list of sins in 1 Corinthians, he said, and he made it very clear, and he said, "No unrighteous person will inherit the kingdom of God." And isn't that what you and I deserve by nature? That instead of the benefits that God gives to his people, eternal condemnation, eternal separation from God is what we deserve because of our sins. Never to enter his holy presence in a sinless heaven. And never to be in that glorious place where his saints forever will sing a glory to God, because we have been defiled by sin, separated from God. But here David sings in the first verses of the psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You can feel his exuberance and his joy as he sings to the Lord. And then as we move into verse 10, here is a reason why he is singing. And he says, "He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Why? Why has God not dealt with us according to our sins? Why has he not punished us for all these iniquities? But instead, he gives his people the eternal life and all these benefits in Christ. Why does he do that when his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to bear the pangs of death and of hell? Why are we washed from these vile sins that we have committed when Christ himself had to bear the curse of those sins on the cross when he had no sin? And David here, he points us to those covenant mercies of God. And there are depths in these mercies of God that we cannot comprehend. That'll take an eternity to sing this psalm to his praise and to glorify God for his mercy. Bless the Lord, O my soul. But here already, David, he was singing of this when he wrote this psalm, and he points us to God's covenants and mercies here, where we, instead of finding God's anger and God's condemnation against us, we can see God coming to comfort us in our afflictions and to load us with his benefits, only because there is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only because sinners are able to go to him through the Lord Jesus Christ to find that forgiveness. And so God comforts his people by showing us how great his covenant mercies truly are compared to what we truly deserve. And so our theme for this afternoon is God comforts through his covenant mercies. God comforts through his covenant mercies. And we'll look only at two aspects here in this psalm. And first, then, God comforts his people by revealing the limitless extent of his mercy. By revealing the limitless extent of his mercies. If we read verse 10 again, it says, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And you say, why? And you look at verse 11 and it says, for the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. God says, you have not received what your sins deserve, only because of his limitless mercies. Because as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. If we think of the heavens, we step outside and we can see the atmosphere, and you look out at night and you can see the stars way up in space. And now if you know about the Hubble telescope, it claims that it can see farther than 10 billion light years away into the galaxies, and still it doesn't reach the end. Now how far is that? Well, if you travel at the speed of light, that gets you around the world 7 times a second, if you travel at that speed for 10 billion years, you still don't get to the end of the galaxies that God has created. How can we comprehend such an expanse? But now there are days when we feel like our sins seem like mountains. They feel like a weight so heavy that it'll sink you down to the bottom of hell. And they seem so immovable. Our memory can't get rid of them. You can't erase them. No amount of water can clean your hands from them. No amount of good works or prayers can get rid of them. Nothing will correct it. But even if your sins are as high as the highest mountain in this world, what is that to the height of the stars in those galaxies? So great is his mercy. That's the magnitude of the covenant mercies of God to those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you then not look up at the stars even tonight as you leave this building to see what Abraham saw when God pointed him to those stars to remind him of his covenant? Will you not look up then also to see the Lord Jesus Christ who was lifted up on the cross for the sins of his people, where he died for the sins of his people? Just like Israel was called to look up at that serpent in the wilderness when they were laying in the hot desert sand with that poison of the snakes that had bit them and they were at the brink of death. But as soon as they looked, they lived. It was the ones, it did not matter how close to death they were, or how long they had lain there, or how infected they were, but when they looked, they were completely healed. And one look to Christ in faith, and that limitless extent of God's mercies is poured on to you. And it doesn't matter how close to death you are, or how long the poison of sin has been coursing through your veins, but do you not see that without Christ, your sins is your death sentence? And then we are called to look and to see that God's mercy is there for sinners. And in all the benefits that he has in his word become yours in Christ. And you say, well, what benefits? What are they that God gives? And then we go back to verse 2 where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And then David, he explains that further in verse 12, and he says then, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Our sins that look like immovable mountains, God takes them away from us and he moves them to the furthest possible distance. As far as the east is from the west, to the two extreme points of this world, two points that can never be touched together, never be brought together, and never be seen from one place to the next. That's how far God removes our sins from us, out of sight. And that's how permanently God removes our sins from us, never to come back to you again. Because Isaiah says that God casts our sins behind his back, never to look at them again. And he says in Micah that he casts them into the depths of the sea, never to be found again. And that's when God says to us in 1 John 1 that when we confess our sins to him, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the limitless extent of God's covenant mercies. And it is because God has punished those sins of all his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. There his justice has been perfectly satisfied. There not a penny's worth of sin has been left unpaid. And that justice of God can never demand that payment twice. Once paid is forever paid. Once removed is forever removed. And that's why it will never return again. And then it does not matter if our sins are higher than the highest mountain, or even if they reached up to the galaxies. But Christ has paid it all, even to the greatest extent. And your sins may have caused the blood of the dead to cry out to God like Abel's did from the ground. Your sins might have risen up to God and to heaven like Sodom and Gomorrah's because your sins were great and you were an abomination in the sight of God. Your sexual sins may have defiled your mind or your body or your neighbors and cause you to be a loathing in the sight of God, an abomination and detestable in his sight. And your sins may have persecuted the church of Christ and Christ himself, as the Lord told Saul of Tarsus, that when you persecute his people, you persecute the Lord himself. But when you cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, like that thief did when he was hanging on the cross, he was a thief and a murderer, and he said, "Remember me." And the Lord said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Or maybe you're like that publican in the temple who did not even dare to raise his eyes anymore because of the burden of your sin and guilt. But he said, "God, have mercy on me." And then God, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, removes all those sins from you and casts them to the furthest possible place. For did not Paul say in Romans that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Oh, hear the comforting and assurances that God gives through this limitless extent of his covenant mercies. Is that what you need today? Is that what you need who do not dare to look to God anymore because you have sinned it all away? Where else can you go? Or have you already come there to find his mercy is so great that though you could do nothing else but like that publican in the temple cry out, "Help, be merciful to me, a sinner," yet you found that his grace was greater than all your sins. And that as the stars as high as the heavens above the earth, so great is his mercy towards you, to show his tender mercies to you, to draw him back to you, to wash you from these sins, and to break the power of those sins that held you, and to turn you to walk in the ways of his commandments. But you need to go. If there's those of you here who are burdened with that sin and defilement of sin, you need to go because there's no other place to go. He waits, and he calls, and he urges, and he shows what his compassion is like. Do you not know that the goodness of God will lead you to repentance, showing that he has not dealt with us after our sins, and he never destroyed us like Sodom and Gomorrah, but he says now, today is the day of salvation. But even if you're fearful, verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." And what God is showing you today is that his mercies are so infinitely greater than your sin. And the only Israelites that died in the wilderness were the ones that did not look to the serpent. It doesn't say why they didn't look. They just never looked. And it does not matter why you are not looking, but you need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here God comforts you with the limitless extent of his covenant mercies. How then can you not go to him? And all those who have of you who have learned to see this and to know this and have been able to sing with David, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Is his mercy then not greater than the heavens? Is it not higher than the heavens above us, where he would have mercy on you?" But then even if this seems distant from us, even if this seems so high and far from us, we see secondly when God comes even closer. We see in a second place by revealing the nature, the tender nature of his mercies. God reveals the tender mercy of his, the tender nature of his mercies. In verse 13, he continues and he says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust." And here the Lord is so tender and full of compassion for his covenant children, because he knows and he understands who we are. He remembers that we are but dust. He's the one who shaped us out of the dust. He's the one who gave us life by breathing that breath of life into our nostrils. And he knows that it is because of our sin and that we will return to dust again. And that's what he told Adam, "The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." But God, in his fatherly compassion, has come down in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from those immeasurable heights of eternity, from the glories of heaven, down into this blood-stained and sin-cursed dust of this earth. That instead of dealing with us after our sins and punishing us according to our iniquities, he caused it to bear and weigh on his Son. He is the one who bore our iniquities, because that was a punishment that we could not bear. That was a wrath that we could never endure. But it is Christ's blood that flowed to touch the dust of this earth, that one sacrifice for sin that carried all the transgressions away forever. And that blood can wash even the deepest and the darkest stain of sin. Is that what you need today? Or have you already tasted the goodness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, would there seem to be no hope for one like you? Yet you found that cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ there to wash it all away. But we are but dust, and our lives like the flowers of the field, flourishing for a moment, and when the wind passes over it, it is gone. And we're so often made to feel our weakness and our frailty. We begin to fade and to die. And we can be filled with these questions. Why is this happening? What is the purpose of this sorrow and this grief? Why is this world in such turmoil and upheaval? Why does evil seem to prevail so much? Why do I have to face these trials, these afflictions, these setbacks? And at times I can feel that it's impossible to bear another blow. But then it's as if Christ comes in his word and he says, "I'm aware of it all. I understand. I know your frame. I know how you were made because I made you. I know what it is to weep and to grieve. I know what it is to bear reproach and shame. I know what it is to bear the burdens of this life, the weakness of the body, the loss of loved ones, the rejection, the misunderstanding, the opposition of evil. And Christ knows, because he was made like you, except without sin. He was tempted in every way, like we are, yet without sin. And yet he had to bear the heaviest cross, the heaviest load. He had to bear the heaviest burdens. And his blood soaked into the same ground as his children. And he was buried into the same earth as we will have to return to. He knows and he understands. He walked this path before you. And now it is through his Spirit that he walks this path with you. And he says in his word, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Just like a tender father who never makes his children have to carry a load more than he knows they can bear. And so God in his tender compassion will never make you bear more, an ounce more than you can bear. But it is when you begin to feel those limits. That's where you begin to see God's grace. When he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And the less we can bear ourselves, the more we cast ourselves on the Lord, and the more he supplies his grace to strengthen you so you can bear it. As long as we seek to try to bear it in our own strength, we never look to him for help. As long as we continue to think that we can get rid of our sins ourselves, we never look to him. As long as we continue in our own strength to make ourselves better, we will never see him. But it is when we come to an end of ourselves, no more strength, no more hope, and no more courage, then we have nowhere else to go but him. Then all we can do is pray and unburden ourselves before God. And that's exactly where God shows you his compassion. And so he calls us to remember his grace and to see this fatherly compassion that he draws for us here in his word. And this is where you find not only the comfort in your needs, but this is where you find him. And this is where he meets you to undergird you with his everlasting arms. And this is where he comes and supplies you with that grace that you need. This is where he lavishes you with his many blessings. And that's where he shows you his tender compassion. Do you look for him there? Do you even expect him there? Or are you fearful and afraid that it could not be so? Can you look up from your trials and from your burdens of guilt and see that he is there to help? That is where you find comfort in your afflictions. That is where you can weep with hope. That's where you can grieve with comfort. That allows you to walk through this world with everything that is happening and have your eyes looking for a city whose foundation and builder is God, and a city with eternal foundations, because he is the one who knows your condition, your pain. And through it all, he reminds us and says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, but instead, eternal life. He gives eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Even there, even with death, the sting has been removed. Yes, that pain is felt and that loss is real, and death remains that last enemy, but that sting is taken away in Christ Jesus. When he says, in great compassion, he will purge all our sins away, even though it was like a mighty stream of foul transgression that prevailed from day to day. But it is his mercy that caused all these sins to be purged away. And this is what the Lord brings to comfort his people, and especially at times such as the Lord's Supper, where he reminds us that he remembers you, reminding you that he carried away all your sin in the Lord Jesus Christ, reminding that he cares for you as a father cares for his children. He shows us then this tender mercy and this limitless mercy. And if you read at verse 17, it says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." Can you sing with David today? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Is that your song? Is that the outworking of your heart that God has given? When you see what he gives to his people, what he gives to you, when you know what you deserve, how is it possible that he would show such mercy? But if you do not know this mercy yet, if you do not know this limitless compassion of the covenant Lord, it is still there for those who seek him. And he says, "Do you not know that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance?" That those of you who are pursuing sin, can you not see that the Lord is calling you to repentance? And he says, "Today, if you'll hear my voice, do not harden your heart." For he says, "Turn, turn, for why would you die?" And these benefits are for those who fear him. Can you then go another day without them? Do you dare go another day without them? Does this world really have something to offer that is greater than God's mercy? How do we dare stay away? How do we dare keep looking away from Christ? Because then none of his benefits are ours. And then a day will come where we will have to receive the just punishment that we deserve. But there's nothing in ourselves that can merit his favor. And that's what he's showing us here. Because we see. And those of you who can sing this with David, you know that we deserve nothing. But it is God in his grace and mercy that has given it. And God knows it as well. And that's why he shows us this great contrast. That we are dust. That we're quickly fading away like grass. But he says the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. This is where we need to go. This is where we can find him. Even though it is an expanse that we cannot comprehend, yet there he is. And that's where you see him. And that's where you know him. And that's where you find him. That's where you learn to lean on him in the darkness of our life. When we enter the dark valleys in this life, he is there to help. That is where he pours out his grace upon you to strengthen you. And he shows through this, how he cares, how he knows, how he understands, and that we are nothing but dust, frail as a flower, but with that tenderness of a father, of a heavenly father, he causes you to bloom in this world, even in this wilderness, to glorify his name, and to see that great contrast. And who are we that he is mindful of us, but that he has come down from such glory to save such a one as I? And then with Paul we can say, "And such were some of you, such were some of us, but great is his mercy to undeserving sinners." Amen.